this, we, when Richie and I were talking about this series and we were really praying about it, he said to me, hey, how do you feel during the generational, intergenerational portion of this, where we talk about relationships, where we actually have your family come up? And I was like, yes, of course. And then I start thinking about all the different things that the Lord has done. And it was like, it was really like one of those moments where you take a step back and you kind of get that 360 picture of your life thus far, where you've come from. And so I'm really excited today, actually, about this opportunity to be able to share with you guys. One of the things my mom always does at Thanksgiving time, we all roll our eyes and we're super annoyed by it. But I'm giving away our secrets already. But one of the things that she always does is she has these like Indian ear of corn, and we have to take a piece of the Indian ear off, or the kernel off, and we have to put it in a basket and we have to say something that we're thankful for. And it's funny because Richie, you know, he doesn't like to participate in this. My brother-in-law, Andrew, doesn't like to participate in this. And so we, you know, we just know mom, so we know it's like one of those things. And every year I go into it knowing what I'm going to say, because one of the things that I am most grateful for is my spiritual heritage, And the fact that my testimony looks different than a lot of people's. It's similar to a lot of people's. But it's different in the form of I've always had talk of the Lord in my home, always, from before I was born. And so I think there's some real biblical principles to that. And our big overarching prayer for you today, and even as we prayed about this together, was that you would never feel like it's too late. It's too late. Because guess what? Every generation has an opportunity to speak of the Lord's goodness and his faithfulness. And if your parents weren't saved, or your grandparents weren't saved, or whatever that looks like, maybe you're the first generation Christian, however that's worked out for you, you get to start. You get to start. And then you have that responsibility. And so I kind of want to talk to you just for a second. I'll introduce my people up here. This is Big Linda. This is what we call Big Linda. So this is my mom, and then this is my Nana, Kitty. I don't know if you guys have ever met her, but this is my Nana, Kitty. And then this is my Mia. So y'all know Mia. She takes care of your babies on Sunday mornings. But we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to be pretty, you know, open with you guys. There are certain things that we felt like as a family. We had some family members who may have passed away and stuff like that. So we didn't feel like it was important to bring up that, some of those aspects, because that person's not here, or, you know, those, they're not here to defend themselves or whatever. So there's a couple of things we may skirt over. Some of you may know it, but some of you may not, but we're going to be open today and transparent with you. But I wanted to start off by reading a scripture to you, and it's going to give context to what we're going to talk about today. But it starts, it's Psalm 78, and it's chapter 4, or verse 4 through 7. And it says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about the power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instruction to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so that the next generations might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set up its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." And that's the context for our scripture today, that each generation has a responsibility. And as a result of that, we're going to talk about some of the blessings that we've experienced as a family. We're going to talk to you today about some of the unhealthy things, the unhealthy habits, maybe that we've, you know, kind of got into a habit of doing. And then we're going to close out by talking about what our responsibility is. And so I just kind of want to start off by talking to Nana first, and have my Nana introduce herself. And Nana, tell everybody a little bit about how you grew up.
Well, first of all, before I start,
you're on, girl.
Before I start, I just want to say this. You know, when my first husband passed away, God saw fit to bless me with another man to help me carry on this legacy.
Yes, yes, he did. Absolutely.
Not just for the ones that are already here, but for my great grandkids.
Yes,
that's right.
And
yes.
I just have to thank him for that.
Yes.
So, I was born into a big family. I have four brothers and three sisters. We were not rich. I can remember times when I used to have to walk to school with cardboard in my shoes when it was cold and rainy outside because I had no bottoms on my shoes. But you know something? I guess I didn't realize until I got into school, though, how poor we really were. And when people would bring stuff to our house, bags of clothes and things like that, I can remember one time in particular, some of you older ones will know what I'm talking about when we talk about the pencil skirts. Well, somebody had given me in this bag a pencil skirt, and I wanted to wear it so bad to school to show off the fact that I had a pencil skirt. So yeah, but it was too big for me. So I put on two pairs of shorts underneath that pencil skirt so I could wear it to school. But I was so proud of that. But, you know, I guess our idea of a good time, some of you know what terrazzo floors are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mother used to, because there were eight of us and there was not a lot of money to do things, she would put cornmeal on the floor and we would slide back and forth on that cornmeal. But as I said, it didn't matter. We were a mm-hmm. family. And my dad was not an educated man. He was a salesman. And I can remember times when we would go into the store where he worked that he just went out of his way for people.
Mm-hmm.
He made them feel important. Somebody could walk into that store and be looking for a spark plug or something like that. But I looked at that man and I watched him make those people feel like they were 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be that. So as I grew up, and then when I met Bill, I met him at a party. And guys, let me tell you something. I had my first date with my husband on the 4th of February. He gave me my ring on the 24th, and we were married on March the 11th, exactly 5 weeks from the day, and it lasted for 45 years.
That's the swipe right, like match situation right there.
But you know something? I saw in my father what I wanted. But then after I got married, I saw in my husband as well. He would reach out to people. People were just drawn to him like mm-hmm. magnets. He just had that kind of a personality, and he wanted to give. And as after we'd been married for a few years, we started taking in kids. Mm-hmm. Guys, we lived in a third floor upstairs flat in Salve, New York. A third floor upstairs flat. We had three bedrooms, and yet we had five kids living with us outside of my own three kids.
Mm-hmm.
We just, anybody that came along that needed a place to stay, that's where they were. My husband worked on weekends at a place called the Ernie Davis Home. It was a home for delinquent boys. And it was nothing for him to bring a bunch of these kids home with him on weekends to go to church with us. And this one young man, Harley Osher, he was an Indian, and he was about 6'6". He was a big guy. And I can remember the night at church when we were talking, and Pastor Trolley was talking about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we prayed for the kids, but then everybody went their separate ways. We woke up the next morning, and here is this 6'6" young man sleeping on the landing outside our door. Because when he got home, he had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit beside his bed that night.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran all the way from the Ernie Davis home at 3:00 in the morning so he could be there with us to tell us what had happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that you don't realize what how you pass on to people, mm-hmm. what you say and what you do. And it's just like there was a young man that came into our lives. This young man would have stolen the gold right out of his mother's teeth if he could have gotten to it. But you know something? If the police in Salve knew he was coming in or found in some way heard that he was there, they would make sure they ran him out of town. But he came into town one weekday, and we weren't home. And he came up to the house, and he saw that there was nobody home. The doors were wide open, and he could have stole us blind. Instead, he went in, he made himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and left us a note on the table saying that, "I knew you wouldn't mind, I was hungry, and this is, you know, what I did." But these are the kind of things you don't realize. Even later on in life, people that we have come across, Brenda Ritter is another one. She was a drug addict. And I can remember we had sent her to facilities, and she would always go back to her old way. And then one day she showed up at our house, stoned out of her mind. And Bill told her, he says, "I'm going to take you to the bus station. I'm going to buy your ticket for Teen Challenge in Ithaca. And then I'm going to walk away and leave you there and let you decide what you want to do with your life." Now, we knew that if she went to Teen Challenge, we would not hear from her for at least 6 months or longer. But we put her in God's hands, and that's where we left her. And we walked away with her with that ticket so she could do whatever she wanted to. She could have changed it. We had no idea. But a year and a half later, that young woman walked into our lives once again, the most beautiful human being you could possibly imagine. Her life. I wasn't going to do this. Her life's totally, totally changed. Mm-hmm. And we went without to give to these kids. But, you know, it didn't matter because we were sowing into their lives.
That's right.
We were making a difference.
Yep.
And that's what it was all about. But as I said, it didn't matter that we didn't have anything because it just wasn't important at that time.
So I think what's important for us to glean from that stories, and these are all stories that I've heard growing up and Mom was able to reiterate to me growing up. And so hearing things like that and seeing things like that, Mom, kind of talk about how it felt growing up in a home like that and what you experienced.
I have a little bit of mixed stories on both sides because they gave so much. It was always modeled before me, but there was times that I almost resented it at time too because I didn't have my mom and dad. I had to share them with everyone. Mm-hmm. And there was times that I would go to bed and feel like it's not fair. It's just not fair. But yet I would know deep down there was a reason for it. Now, when you're young, you know, it's all about you and not about anyone else. But I think because it was modeled so much before me that I'm going to take care of the widows and the orphans and those less fortunate, the older I got, the more I was able to translate that to my children and to show them what it meant to give sacrificially. Because when you see it modeled before you, there's no way that you cannot, when you come into it to an adult, you know your responsibility is to your children and to your grandchildren to show them what our responsibility was. So I think for me, once I got through the selfish stage, I then learned how important it was to model it before my children.
Yeah, and I will say that there is something really special about that because when you know, we went through a harder time, mom went through a harder time when we were younger, and I heard those stories growing up, and I didn't realize that I was actually a recipient of Nana and Papa's blessings in that way. I didn't realize because when you know, my dad had left younger, you guys, most of you have heard my story, you know that, but we moved in with Nana and Papa. Mom and I and my sister, we moved in with Nana. And so we're hearing these stories and we're thinking, man, Nana and Papa are so amazing. And they took in all these kids and they did all this stuff. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized, Misty, that was actually your story. Those kids that they poured into and that they, you know, that they would give the shirt off their back to, that was actually you. Did you realize that? And it was this eye-opening moment for me when I recognized, wait a second, not only did they do it for one generation and then another generation, but I was a recipient of that three generations later. And I will say this, that there was this picture, and I had it, and I don't know what happened to it, but it was, should have been up there today for you guys to see. But there was this picture, and one time Mia and I and Lexi were at Nana's house, and I said, hey, Nan, tell Mia and Lexi some of the stories about your childhood and what you experienced and your walk with Christ and your salvation. And Nana was talking to my girls, and she was telling them the stories about how God had been so faithful, and they had no food, and they had all these kids to feed, but groceries just showed up at their house one day. And I was listening to her, and I was watching her, and I quickly snapped a picture of it, and it's on my Instagram if you want to see it. But it was it's this beautiful moment of where I realized it's to the third and fourth generation of blessings. And it's this verse here in chapter 78 of Psalms where it's talking about that you're going to tell your story so much and so often and so consistently that even children that are not born yet are going to hear about the faithfulness of God. And so that's what we experience. Mia, do you remember that story? You do remember when Nana was telling you that it was a crazy story, because Nana has seen good spiritual stuff, and she's seen some like scary, you could have made a Halloween movie stories about. And so she had told me these stories growing up, and I was like, oh my gosh, Nana has seen scary stuff, you know? And so I was like, tell the girls about the scary stuff you saw, Nana, you know? And it was this moment of where it captivated them. But again, when we can pass along those stories of faithfulness, and that's what we're doing here today. That's it. We're just showing you how easy it is to leave a legacy and to do what God has asked us to do. It doesn't have to be a hard thing. It doesn't have to be something where it's like, sit down, I want to tell you everything terrible that's ever happened in our family. Just talk about the faithfulness of God with your kids. He talks about that in Deuteronomy 6, when Moses is talking about bind them around your hands, write them on the tablets of your heart, put them on your forehead so you can constantly see them. Talk about them when you're walking in the streets and when you're going about with your families, because there's this power in knowing if God did it for Nana and he did it for Mom, he's going to do it for me. And I can tell my kids that he's going to do it for them. So I want to transition for a second into maybe some of those unhealthy habits that we got into as a family, and we all have them. We're not trying to like air out dirty laundry here, but we want to kind of explain to you some of the things that we walked through. But Mom, I want to start with you on this, because you really started the emotionally healthy process, I think, first. Mom was one of the first who started it in our family, and can you kind of share a little bit about your story?
So probably in 2010, mm-hmm. 2010, I had my husband and I had broken up and divorced and all that. And I was really going through a time in my life because I felt like someone needed to take care of me. I felt like I was a single mom for so many years. I earned that. And this person walked into my life very financially secure, was giving me anything I wanted, was able to provide for my children. So I looked at that as my crutch and like, oh, I deserve it. So I'm going to go ahead and settle for this person that I knew the writing was on the wall, but yet I chose to ignore all of that and proceed. We married, divorced. And after that divorce, I really had to I was in counseling. And my counselor said something to me, and I called Missy, and I was like sobbing, you know, those ugly cries where your snot's coming down. And I said, Mist, she said to me, I was on antidepressants at the time because it was so volatile in the home. I had went on antidepressants to be able to cope. And she said to me, I'm going to help you get off these antidepressants. She says, but I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to sit in this dirty diaper to where it hurts, and it hurts really bad. And I said, it's not fair. I have given, my kids are walking with the Lord. It's not fair that I should have to pay this price. And she said, but Linda, you, it is your responsibility. You knew and you chose to marry him anyway. So I want you to sit in this diaper. So it was a horrible experience to know that I'm here alone. Again, I'm here alone. And God kept reminding me, but I need you to know that I'm with you this time. And I don't need you to look at anyone else as being your savior. I'm going to do that. So I was in counseling. I sat in that dirty diaper. I started to working out, going to do boot camps. And I really felt like, okay, physically, I was starting to get stronger. And then I started doing things to, I found resources out there that was helping me grow spiritually. And I started doing these small groups with these women. And the more I started doing these small groups, I found that I wasn't needing relationships to fill this void anymore. Mm-hmm. Truly, the teacher has to learn to do enough research to where you can teach, but you have to teach from God and not from your deficits. So I really felt like I really poured into me. And then because I poured into me, the relationship with Christ and I just went to a whole new level. It's okay if you're born and raised in it, but you don't really come into it until you walk through it. Yeah. And this is my story. Yeah. So it really became apparent. And then when Misty and Richie started the church 4 years ago, and Richie kept preaching, we do hard things. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Rich, okay. Okay, well, I've done hard things my whole life. But it was really something because the hard things didn't take on, woe is me, I'm doing hard things. It was like, I'm going to do hard things because if I know if I do hard things, I'm going to be emotionally stronger, physically stronger, started doing CrossFit. I'm like, yeah, I've got this. And it's really great because we have to remember we're spirit, soul, and body. And if you're not taking care of all of those areas, there is going to be some kind of deficit. There is, and then you're going to rely on one thing more than the other. So I think for me, being an example to my children, doing all those hard things has really healed a lot of the relationship problems between my, I shouldn't say problems, but challenges that we've had in the past, that God's really been faithful to heal a lot of those because I've chosen to spend that time with the Lord and not in a deficit.
Yeah. And I love that because mom really talked about when she was going through her process of emotional health and she was really, you know, kind of dealing and going, staying with counseling and working out. And she made it like a 360 lifestyle change or however you say that 180 lifestyle change. It really became important for her to communicate those things. And even sometimes to the point where I would be like, I don't know if I want to know anymore of like what you've gone through. It was so important for me to allow the Holy Spirit to help her walk through that journey and for her to be able to communicate that with Nana. And then in return, Nana to be able to communicate with her. And I can remember there was this one day and Nana and I were packing up one of my houses we were moving. And I had an opportunity just to sit with Nana. And I was asking her, you know, sometimes when it's easier to kind of talk through the past when you're doing something, not just like sit down, we need to talk. You know what I mean? Like when we're doing something, so cooking in the kitchen, things like that were helpful. But it was helpful in this regard because we were packing. And I said to her, I said, Nan, there are some things that I recognize as I'm going through this emotionally healthy process. And we had to do this genogram. Those of you who are in emotionally healthy, you know, you're genogramming your family and all this stuff. But I noticed some unhealthy patterns. And I said, you know, I see a lot of what mom went through is because of things that she had seen in her past or things that our family had walked through. And I'm like, Don, how do you rationalize that? What do you do? And she's like, you know, we didn't talk about stuff. We just didn't talk about it back then. But I was watching the Lord actually change because of one person's commitment to getting healthy. That it sparked something inside of me that I was like, wait a second, if it meant we don't talk about it in the past and this is the result of that, then how can I change that? How can we change that? So we really started this process of where I could go to Nana and Mom and say,
hey, I saw this or I see this. Where are we at with that as a family? What's your story on that? How did you get through this process? What was your thinking in that moment? And it really was freeing, I think, for me to see that, because there were things that we don't talk about as a family. We all knew it happened. It was in the past, but nobody addressed it. And for me, it became this barrier of, am I going to pass that on to my kids? And there's been times, there's been opportunity in raising my kids where we could have said, like, well, it's in the past. We're not going to talk about that. But Meme, do you think that there's anything in our family that we can't talk about?
When I have questions, you guys just answer them.
Which is true. When she has a question, we just answer it. And you don't, as grandparents and as parents, we don't have to make it this thing where it's like, we don't talk about that. That's a landmine. We're not going to go there. Because when we're getting emotionally healthy, when we start to deal, when we start to see, you know, I see the past for what it was. And I, you know, mom, there were times when mom and I had conversations where I said, hey, this situation hurt. And mom has said to me in the past, I didn't know any better. And I'm sorry. And I would never hurt you. And that was so freeing. It didn't change the past. There was nothing about it that was fixed. But the fact that she allowed me to communicate, mm-hmm. and the fact that she was able to say, I'm sorry, it healed that situation. It healed the past. So when we're walking through as parents, when we're walking through as grandparents, and our kids come to us, or our family members, our siblings come to us and say, hey, this hurt, I can recognize and say, you know what? I see my responsibility in that. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. But let's move forward from here. And how do we do that? And that is the promise of God. Because when we talk about the good things that we walk through, we also have to address the things that are not healthy, because we're human. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. Everybody is going to fail. Everyone. If you've never, and that's the power play sometimes as parents that we get into this trap of, well, I don't owe you anything. Well, we want a relationship with them one day. So we owe them the respect of listening and then saying, hey, mommy's going to make it better. I'm going to do better. Daddy's going to do better. This is how we're going to move as a family. And I love that, because one of the things that's so great, and mom and I were talking about that this morning, is how when non-married gramps after papa passed away, my girls do this with gramps. And I love it. Because I have pictures upon pictures of pictures of them sitting beside him and telling him stories and him telling them stories and him sharing verses of the Bible with them. And it was like God said, I'm going to continue because you've been faithful. So there was no deficit in there. Just because we lost a loved one doesn't mean that there was, oh, that's it. There's no, that's it. That part of the family dies. Mm-hmm. No, he continues because he's faithful. Right. And he was faithful to do that. And that was one of the things I thought of when Papa passed away. Man, my girls aren't going to have that relationship with him. But then he brings in Gramps, who's amazing. We love Gramps. He's one of our favorite people in the world. And I have all these pictures of the girls like cuddled up next to him and snuggled up next to him, where he's just telling them about the faithfulness of God in his family. And so don't ever think that, man, that time is gone. It's wasted. There's nothing wasted with the Lord, mm-hmm. nothing. He continues to bring faithfulness to 1,000 generations, the Bible mm-hmm. says. When we keep his promises, when we try, when we do what's right, he's so faithful in meeting us and consistent in that. Mm-hmm. And it's like he says over and over again, if you're trying, I'm going to meet you. Mm-hmm. If you're doing what I've asked you to do, I'm going to meet you right there. And I just want you to get that picture today for your family and keep those promises. One of the biggest things I think that we had to learn to do was to communicate. And that's what verse 78 is all about. It's about communicating, yes. Communicating the promises of God. And so if you can do that, if you can learn to do that, your family's going to grow. You're going to see so much growth within your own family. And then as it spills out, give your family an opportunity to speak truth and to speak life into your kids. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing.
And if you're in here today and you're like, I don't really have a family, I don't really have that, you have a family. Mm-hmm. The community chapel, we are a family. That's what God has called us to do. He rallied around in so many ways, like even in mine and Richie's life, times when we've gone through something, the Lord brings in someone at the right time that says, hey, listen, I see you going through this, but listen, how this is how God is faithful. In my life, he's going to do it for you. So don't ever doubt the promises of God. And I hope that that's translated today. But do you have anything that you want to maybe finish with, Nan and Mom?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we may not see. But I like the NIV version. It says, faith is the confidence mm-hmm. we have and the assurance about what we do not see. Mm-hmm. So, and I think just seeing the growth in my kids and with Misty, I'll just share one incident with you, in fact. It was after my husband had died. I had lost my job. I was on my way home from work, and I was crying uncontrollably. I called Linda on the phone. She didn't answer, but Misty picked up the phone, and she was concerned. She said, Nana, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And, of course, I'm just blubbering out. I lost my job. Papa's dead. How am I going to live? I mean, all this, that, and the other. And you know what she said to me? She said, Nana, shut up.
I would never.
Yes, she did.
I would
she
never.
She said, Nana, I would shut never. Up. I said, you can't. She said, yes, I can. She said, you have preached to us and to Mom and to all of us all of your life. You can't outgive God. And you give and you give and you give and you tell us to rely on him. She said, what are you doing? She said, how about if you practice what you preached?
I would never say that to my mother. Never.
But, you know, it's true. It's true. Just like the girls that I have. I've got 22 girls in my Bible study. And what an incredible opportunity to speak into their lives and to be able to share with them. You never know, just one mm-hmm. kind word right. or one thing can make all the difference in the world. And some you may not know what they're going through, but it doesn't cost anything to be kind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost anything to share what God has put in your heart. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is seeing my family and in Bill and what God has done in our lives and in the generations. And I have to thank him, because I ask him, I said, allow me to do that with these girls. Mm-hmm. They may not be, blood family, but they are my family. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can say is thank you, Lord, because he has just blessed me beyond blessed. There's nothing any more freeing and exhilarating than seeing your family serving God. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think piggybacking off of Nana, blessing, it can end with me. It ended with my generation. And there's mistakes that I made that my children, all three of my children, stood up and said, we will not walk through a divorce. We will not. We will stand and we'll fight. We do hard things, mm-hmm. no matter what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Those hard things will produce a backbone in all of my children, my grandchildren, that will know what it looks like to stand and fight.
Well, that's good.
And I will say that there were times even in my own marriage where I made a phone call to Mom. I'm coming home. And Mom said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not coming home. And that those kind of things like that, that again, we get to talk about those things. We get to address them. We get to deal with them. We get to create healthy patterns because of what the Word of God says, and because of what we know He says, that we can look at our situation and go, you know what? God, you've been faithful. Mm-hmm. I know that no matter what I go through, that you're here with me, and I've seen you be faithful after faithful after faithful, and I know that I can be consistent in that. Because you're going to bless, and there's blessing on the other side of that. So we hope that what we've said today is encouraging. We hope that we really wanted to kind of culminate our relationship series and kind of give you a for instance, this is how you do it. And so we hope that
that you can do that. We hope that you take the time to share your stories. We hope that you take the time to repeat God's blessing in your family, to model that. I mean, we could sit here for hours and hours and hours, and I could tell you stories about how Nana and Papa, I watched them put money inside and pay their tithe when I was like, do we have groceries? Like, I'm looking in the fridge. I'm like, do we have groceries? But y'all putting money in that plate right now. What's happening? But again, God's faithfulness consistently. We never went without. Never. He's always provided. He's always been faithful. And I'm not saying, you know, this is some kind of like tithing message. It's not. But I'm telling you, you can't, like Nana said, you can't outgive God. You can't. Even when it comes to your relationships, you can't outgive God. And the investment that you make, you have no idea how that's going to repeat itself. It was because of her and Papa pouring into us that I could turn around and say to her that day on the phone, Nana, what have you told us your whole life? That because God has been faithful with what we have, he's going to be faithful with what you have. He's going to be faithful with everything that you've sown. So today, if you're in here, just know that. Read Psalm 78. Read the Psalms, because they are full and full and full of verses that talk about God's faithfulness and talk about how you do this with your family. And so I hope that you would, if you don't have this in your family, draw a line in the sand and say, as for me and my house, we will be biblical. We will do what God has asked us to do. If you've never seen this modeled, or maybe you've seen it modeled your whole life, but it's looked different, recognize it for what it is, communicate it, but then move forward. Mm-hmm. Do what God has asked you to do. Mm-hmm. And it may look different. The way that Nana and Papa raised their kids is different than the way I raise my kids. They probably would frown upon me for some of the things that, you know, that we let our kids say to us, but it's because we want to have open communication with them. We don't do it right. They're a little bit disrespectful. Sometimes we're like, ooh, we get it. But at the same time, just practicing, opening the word of God, letting that word infuse you so that you have stories to tell. And each one of these stories didn't happen in an easy season. Each one of these stories, every legacy, every story that was passed down to us, it was because of a hard season. It was a hard, difficult thing that the Lord showed up in their life, and they were able to tell that story to us. We do a disservice in the body of Christ when we paint everything to be rosy. That's and right. Perfect and wonderful, and we never walk through anything. Look at us. We're so perfect. Model after us. No. That's why when we were talking about this, I was like, we got to talk about some of the hard stuff. We gotta open it up a little bit, because there are things, blessings in your family that have happened as a result of difficult seasons. And you look back on it now and you go, man, if it weren't for that season, I wouldn't have learned. Like Mom said, if it weren't for that season where her counselor said, you're going to have to sit in your dirty diaper. That's disgusting. Nobody wants to get that visual. But at the same time, it did something in her that translated to, okay, wait, oh, well, I want to do it different with my kids then too. So that's how we do that. So I want to challenge you today. Take the word of God, apply it to your life. Do hard things. Recognize the past as the past, but also the lessons that you learned in those seasons and how they've strengthened you for the future. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you just for the ability to be vulnerable in your house, God, for the ability to have family conversations, God, in the presence of your people. So, Lord, I pray that we would, as a church, as a body, Lord, as your body, I pray that we would take Psalm 78, Father God, and we would apply it to our life. God, that each generation would tell of your promises. God, that we would learn how to be intergenerational with the gifts that you've given us, God. Lord, I thank you that as we pass those along, God, what we're doing is just reinforcing your goodness year after year, season after season. And I thank you that as a result of that, God, that whole households are going to come to know you, Lord. I thank you that as a result of that, your anointing is going to be so strong on families, God, that those generational curses are not even going to be a thing, Father God. Lord, that you're going to
tear them down. God, as we recognize who you are and how faithful you've been in our lives, Lord, we thank you that you're just going to pour out blessings upon families. God, I pray for every family in here who feels like emotionally spent. Lord, I pray that you would shoulder that with them. God, that you would strengthen them. Amen. Lord, I thank you that there is nothing so big, Father God, that they cannot overcome. I thank you that this church and that these people are going to live a life of overcoming to the point, Father God, where people around them, it's a testimony to the people around them of God's faithfulness. We thank you for that. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us wisdom and how to do this. Lord, how to be agents of change in our families, Father. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. I pray for blessing on each family represented here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.